change the way that we approach situations. It would change the way that we view ourselves and view our lives if we could get the perception that God has about us. Then we would actually begin to function as God sees things. Man, that's the part that we struggle with, is being able to actually get a hold of that, to really grab hold of to differentiate between my worldly, my image or my status in this world and my status in heaven. To be able to understand my status in heaven, which is translated into this world, it's not just later, it's right now. God has made a deposit in us right now, and just through some time in prayer this week, God has just been revealing things to me, and all I can do is just constantly say, God, help me get this. Help me understand this. You know, because it's one thing to get a wonderful revelation of the truth of God. It's another thing to translate that into daily life. And that's the part that we struggle with, is translating these things into our daily lives. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. I tried all week to put this in an outline and try to understand where we were going with it, and I finally just shut the iPad off this morning. Didn't have one line on it. I finally just shut it off and said, okay, we're just going to see where this goes. Praise God. Oh man, if I could, you know, just everything that God's been putting in me, if I could just download it, you know, that would be so much easier. Praise God. We need to get those little USB ports in our heads where, you know, you come in here on Sunday morning, just downloads. And so we're asking Holy Spirit to give us downloads this morning in His Word. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. That is not even close. Why did I write that down? Maybe it's 21. Oh, Jesus. Let's just go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. It says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the in eternal inheritance. Praise God. He is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death. I want us to read on down into verse 16 and 17. It says, for where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. This is talking about a will, to write out a will. A will has no power until the person that wrote the will has died. And that's when the will is revealed. And so God wrote a will. He wrote a will for us. And he wrote that will concerning his firstborn son, Jesus. And he bestowed everything that he had to him. Nothing was left out. Matter of fact, John chapter 14 says that Everything the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said the Holy Spirit will show it unto you. So Jesus was saying that I have received by the will of God, I have received everything that God has. It's been given to me by inheritance. And so Jesus wrote out a will for us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit declared a will. If you read in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, it kind of goes over the things that we have received. And one of the most prominent things is that we will receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if you love me, I and the Father, we will come and make our abode with you. The receiving of everything that Jesus bought and paid for. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for our sins. We know that. We know that through the Spirit of adoption, we can now cry, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8. And it also says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So that means that we have received in like manner everything that Jesus received from the Father. Jesus was the heir of God. And now we have become joint heirs with Jesus. When Jesus died, the will was initiated. The will was empowered. That's when Jesus rose again, he went to heaven. It says that he didn't come into the holy place with the blood of bulls and goats and calves and like the old covenant, but with his own blood, he entered into the holy place, making eternal sacrifice or eternal redemption available for us. And so Jesus entered into the holy place. The blood was accepted as a sacrifice for our sins, a sacrifice for our rebellion, a sacrifice for the fact that we separated from God. And we were brought back into the family of God. And we come into a place where we had the right. John chapter 1, it says that we have the right, the authority. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave power or right to become the sons of God. So in believing in Jesus, confessing our faith, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and declare it with your mouth, you will be saved. Isn't that what Romans says? We will be saved. And so when we confess him and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we receive, or the inheritance is empowered, because at that point we receive the authority to become the sons of God. We are literally given this insignia, the insignia ring on our hand, just like this ring with this cross on it. It's a shield and a cross. If that was what God formed in heaven that would mark us as the sons of God, you received that. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we have been actually branded by God. When the enemy looks at you, he doesn't see a person available. He sees a person that has been purchased by God, because you are marked. Praise God. I carry the insignia of God in my very being. I am marked. And so when the devil sees me coming, he sees somebody that he cannot possess. He sees somebody that he cannot have, because I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, and I have the name of Jesus that's above every name, in heaven and earth and under the earth, over every principality and power. So I have been brought into the kingdom of God. I have been birthed into the family of God, I have received the mark or the engraving of the Spirit upon my life, and therefore I have a place that I belong. I belong to a family, and I have proof or authority to belong in this family. Amen. Nothing can drive me out of the family of God. The devil can't remove me from the family of God. We are secure in Him because of the power and authority that He has given to us, and He has given us His name, which is above every name. And so at the name of Jesus, every demon trembles at the very sound of His name. Most of the time, the devil's not your biggest problem because he is subject to the name of Jesus, if you understand that. Most of the time, it's your perception of the situation that determines the outcome. It depends on where you see yourself standing in God. Amen. If we understand that we stand in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and we are marked by God, then we won't be afraid of things trying to, of that something can somehow take us away. Because we know who we are. We know where we stand. I have the authority. As many as believe, to them gave He the power or the authority or the right to become the sons of God. So as you have believed on His name, the testator declared that when He died, you remember the disciples getting all upset when Jesus said, I have to go away, I have to give my life and go to the Father. They got upset. Matter of fact, Peter turned him around, grabbed him by the shoulder and said, this ain't going to happen. And Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. What was he? He was talking to the voice. He was talking to the influence that was working through Peter to try to stop the ordination of God from taking place. To try to stop this dynamic transformation. And he said, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're talking about this temporal stuff. I'm talking about eternal stuff. And so Jesus declared that He was going to go to the Father. And He said, if I go to the Father, I will send you another comforter. Now the word another in that case literally means of like kind and character. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to send another comforter and He is going to be me. Come on, somebody. He's going to be me. And He will be with you, John chapter 14, He will be with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. What's going to be in you? Like, kind, and character of Jesus. Amen. The like, kind, and character of Jesus. See, when transformation takes place, when we really understand the transformation that takes place, see, this Kleenex isn't very valuable. Unless your nose is running, you can't get a hold of anything else. Then it becomes very valuable. Okay? Matter of fact, a lot of people around the world cannot understand why Americans carry hankies. They said, why do you want to keep it as some precious thing? Put it back in your pocket. So we look at this Kleenex, and it's not very valuable. I mean, you couldn't sell this. Depends on your situation. I might be able to sell it at the right time. But it doesn't seem very valuable. But you put it in the hands of Jesus, you let the power and authority of Jesus come on it, and you can send it to somebody and they'll be healed. All of a sudden it becomes more powerful and more valuable than money. Why? Because the transformation took place. It went from being a Kleenex to being the representation of the anointing and power of Almighty God. Total transformation. Paul said, it says in the book of Acts, that handkerchiefs and aprons was taken from Paul's body. He carried them and prayed over them, and they were taken from his body and sent to those that were healed. Now, these handkerchiefs and aprons were not very valuable, but all of a sudden they were transformed into the agent of miracles. Then all of a sudden they become valuable. Matter of fact, I imagine in that day some of them probably framed them and hung them on the wall. And there was probably a few shysters tried to sell them. You know, holy water or something. Holy, you know, you see those things. You know, for your donation this month, I'll send you a bottle of holy anointed water, and you drink it and you'll be healed. And we see that kind of thing taking place today. But when we understand that whatever is placed under the authority of Jesus suddenly is transformed from of no value to without price, without value. A price can't be put on it. Because all of a sudden it becomes a part or a piece of the Creator Himself. Now, when we understand that and realize that we were this Kleenex, but all of a sudden we came into the understanding of who Jesus was, and we were transformed from just a Kleenex to being a part and a piece of the very Creator Himself. And now all of a sudden we're not just a Kleenex to be thrown away. We are now valuable, and we have eternal value with God. We are in His presence. We have eternal value with Him. And when we understand the will of God, the testator died and the will was enacted. Okay? And when the will was made powerful, then anybody, whoever believes upon His name, becomes and is given the right to become the sons of God. Whenever Jesus died, the will became powerful and available. But Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were lost in the trespasses and sins. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, the will has been activated. It's accessible. But you got to come in the right way for it to be accessible. You have to have the name. You got to belong to the family. Okay? You got to have the bloodline in order to get the will. Because the will of God has been given only to those that are His child, that stand in the position of His Son, Jesus Christ, the firstborn, which everything was given to. And so when we come, the Bible, when in John chapter 3, it says that everyone has to be born again. Okay? That which is born of flesh is flesh. That was born of spirit is spirit. So when we're born the first time, we are born of the flesh. But when we receive Jesus, when we acknowledge Him and commit our lives to Christ, then we are born again into another family. We now have the rights of that family. We now have the privileges of that family. We can now go to that house and sit down at the table and eat because we have a seat at the table. I am a bona fide accepted member of the house of God. I don't have to try to prove it every time I go into prayer. I don't have to try to prove that I'm a child of God to God. Why? Because not only do I know Him now, but the greatest thing that I can ever think, and I tell God this all the time, I say, God, thank you that I know you. But the greatest thing that I want to praise you for today is that you know me. You know me. I'm never lost in this world. No matter where I'm at, God knows me. No matter where I go in this world, Holy Spirit knows me. Angels know me. Whether African angels or Indian angels or Asian angels or, you know, whatever the case might be, everywhere I go, I am recognized as the Son of God. Because I carry with me the name, the bloodline, the white robe of righteousness, and I have the insignia of God imprinted on me, and therefore demons and angels recognize me everywhere I go. Amen. You think you can hide? Absolutely not. You illuminate. You are shining in this world because you are the child of God. You are bona fide, if I can use that name. You are absolute. You're not a copy. You are now the original. A lot of us just try to be a copy of a Christian. We try to live like a Christian. We try to be a Christian. You don't have to try to be a Christian. You are now an imprint of the original. You have been stamped. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I was driving this week, had a lot of time to pray. I think I drove over 800 miles this week in funerals and hospital visits and taking care of people and stuff like that. So I had a lot of windshield time. And so I had a lot of time to pray. I have a prayer outline that I go by. Part of it is what we do on the declaration. But I have this prayer outline that I'll go by, and I pray that all the time. Every time I get in my little red pickup to pray, that I set that thing on fire with the Holy Ghost. It's red because of the fire of God. I mean, look at it. It transformed. Go out there. It used to be pink, and now it's bright red. But I was driving and praying this prayer, and I was praying. I was declaring my access to God. I was declaring who I am in God. And all of a sudden, it just bubbled up within me. And I don't know if this is going to touch you like it did me, but I got so excited. I actually had to slow down. I realized that I had that little truck wound tight going down the interstate, and I had to slow down because I got so wound up and so excited because I began to declare that the will at your death, Jesus, at your death, your will was activated. At your death, the will became valuable. The will became valid. But it was at my resurrection that it became my will. When I was resurrected in spirit, when I was born again, all of a sudden it went from being the will of God to my inheritance. And now because of the resurrection of Jesus, because I was born again, because I was washed in the blood, because I was stamped with the insignia of the Spirit, because I have the name and I have the bloodline, now all of a sudden I am no longer just an ordinary person, but I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. My status in this world completely changed the day I said yes to Jesus. Everything changed in my life. See, this is where we just don't get it. We think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven one day. What does that even mean? A lot of us just have this Christian mentality that we belong to the church and that we, you know, we God loves us and all this kind of stuff. But do we ever just really get back and think, hey, not only that, I am standing in the very inheritance of Jesus Christ. I have received everything that Jesus bought and paid for. So I am saved. The word saved or salvation is sozo. And it literally means that you are saved completely. Spirit, soul, and body, you have been redeemed and saved. We don't have that concept. You don't have to wait to go to heaven one day. You can walk in the presence of heaven now. Amen. You know what? You know what most Christians, you know how far we most of us get? We get to the point where we've been marked, and that's as far as we get. So all we ever get is being hassled by the devil. Because all of a sudden he knows who we are, but we don't know who we are. And so all he does is just pummel us constantly with harassment. And that's where you get Christians going around all the time saying, I'm under attack. Well, you can't be under attack because you are seated in heavenly places. If you are under attack, that means that you are still earthbound in your spirit and you still abide here. But Jesus didn't just abide here. Hebrews tells us that he was made a little lower than the angels to give his life and to be like us. But then he ascended above the angels, far above the angels, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And so now Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been redeemed. So how can you be under what you're over? See, the difference is where you're seated in your understanding, in your position. If you don't see yourself seated in Christ Jesus, then you are afraid of what the devil can do to you, and you're afraid of what man can do to you. But if you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you know that no matter what the devil tries, no matter what man tries, that you're going to prevail because you are receiving your power and your status from heaven and not from earth. Oh, hallelujah. See, God gave us gifts. But in order for us to operate in those gifts, we've got to come into our position. We've got to understand who we are. I know I've been hammering this for months now. And we're going to keep hammering away at it until we start seeing the evidence and the manifestation of the very presence of God and the demonstration of His Word in our life. We're going to keep doing this until we start seeing the very demonstration of the Word and the Spirit in our lives. Why? Because remember, we started all this with talking about bearing fruit, being fruitful. Last January, we started with the little house. Remember that? And building the building of God, the temple of God. We're still on that, if unless you haven't been following. This is just more of it. We're just putting the pieces together and laying the foundation. We're putting the building together and understanding who we are in Jesus Christ so that we can be literally a house built for His dwelling place. Hallelujah. Literally just being in His presence. For 4 hours yesterday, I was in this auditorium, and all I could pray, I didn't get anything else prayed for. For 4 hours, all I could do is say, God, make this Your habitation. Make this Your habitation. Lord God, I ask You that heaven and earth would touch right here on this hill. God, that your habitation, your presence would be manifest in the earth. The people know who you are. That they'll know. Some of you say, well, I can't pray very long because I run out of things to say. You don't have to say a lot. You can spend hours just on one thing. When it's your heart crying out to God, God, I want the manifestation of your spirit. I want the manifestation of your word to be alive in us, to be alive in me. Lord, to see the demonstration of who you are. See, anytime you start pressing in like that, the enemy immediately tries to get you discouraged. But you got to decide whether you're going to stick with it or not. You got to decide whether you're going to push through or are you just going to sit down and pout because things ain't working like you want them to. How determined are you? How determined are you? I actually heard a song somewhere here a while back that is like, I think it's a country song. I don't know. Can God speak through that? I don't know. I heard this one phrase, and this one phrase has been going over and over in my spirit now for a couple of months, and I can't seem to shake it. And it's, how bad do you want it? How bad do you need it? That's all I heard. And I think that's a country song. But at that moment, it was not a country song. It was Holy Spirit speaking to me. Who'd have thought it? And that burned into my spirit. And every day since then, I've been asked myself, do you really want it? Do you really want it? Do you really want His presence? How bad do you want it? How bad do you need it? What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? What is it that you're willing to pay? What kind of price are you willing to pay? Do you really want it? Been going over my spirit. Oh, we say we want it. But our actions say we don't. You can't have the presence of God without spending time with Him. Amen. You have to spend time in fasting and prayer. Now, some of you have said that I don't believe in fasting because I've tried to get you to understand. I do believe in fasting. I don't believe in going on hunger strikes to try to make God feel sorry for us. And that's the way most people fast. I'm not going to eat till you do this, God. What are you doing? Going on a hunger strike? Fasting is not to get God to feel sorry for you and do something. Fasting is to move you from earth into the presence of God, into heaven. Fasting and prayer is to deliver you from the bondage of this flesh and move you into the power and presence of the Spirit so that you can actually receive what God has for you. And that can come from fasting your time, fasting food. And that's not putting everything in the blender so you can drink it. I had some people tell me one time, they here in this church, that they were doing a 40-day fast. Put condemnation on me. It's like, oh God, I don't think I can do that. I'd die. You know what I'm talking about? God is helping me. I mean, God's healing me. But you let me go a day without eating anything and you find me unconscious somewhere. It is not good. And I was going on this 40-day fast and I thought, well, good. Praise God. Deep down in my heart, I was thinking, you really need it. I'd do some good. Okay. And so I watched them. Every week they'd come back. And man, they're just full of energy. Just spry. I don't know about you, but when I fast a week, sometimes you really don't even want to talk to me. especially if I hadn't really broke through that week, because I might just declare hellfire and brimstone right there. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? You can get in a bad mood. And they finally ended their 40-day fast, and they hadn't lost any weight. They were spry, and I kept saying, wow, man, they've done good. I don't think I could do that. And then they let the cat out of the bag. They believed that if they could drink it, it wasn't eaten. So they was putting complete meals in the blender, which I can't imagine. I would throw up. But they was putting complete meals in a blender, and they were drinking it, saying that they were fasting. When did we think that we can fool God? And when did we think that we could fool ourselves? Our heart is deceitful above any. We're always trying to find a shortcut, always trying to find a way around it. But if you really want it, if you really want God, you won't be interested in shortcuts. You'll be interested in getting to where you want to be, in His presence. In His presence. To rehearse continually. The reason I have a prayer outline that I pray, scriptures that I pray, got a progressive declarations. The reason I have that is because I want to rehearse continually my position with Jesus. I'm praying and coming in agreement with who I am in God, coming in agreement with where I stand in God, coming in agreement with what I have in God. Hallelujah. And so when we really grab hold of that, then we begin to see things happen. Now, like I said a while ago, a lot of times the first thing you'll see happen is harassment. And you won't feel real great about it. You know why? Because the enemy does not want you to get to a place where you understand that you're over him. He wants to keep you in delusion. He doesn't care about your declaration or your faith statement. All he cares about is what actually works in your life. You can confess that you're a child of God the rest of your life, and the devil never worry about you, because you never get past that. Come on, somebody. You gotta let God, you gotta get saturated and say, I want this. How bad do you want it? How bad do you need it? Do you want it enough to open your heart up and say, God, I just pour myself out before you. God, I'm here. Do you want enough to spend time just saying, God, for a whole year now, well, longer than that, I guess my whole life, but I've really been intense about it in the last year, and that is, God, let heaven come to earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God, let your presence dwell in us. Bring us to the place of your presence. Praise God. And if that is manifest in one person, it'll be worth it all. Amen? Just one person receives the eternal inheritance of God, it'll be worth it all. Hallelujah. To demonstrate who Jesus is, his nature and his character has been put inside of you. We have received it. It's been put inside of you, and therefore, we have to seek after and investigate until we begin to realize it in our life, to understand that authority. I remember one time me and Betty were in India. We went there by ourselves this time, just me and Betty, and we usually take people with us because there's thousands of people to be prayed for, and it's really, really wearing. And so we were praying for people. And every night we would get down. A lot of times it's just really warm and hot and no air moving because you're just surrounded by masses of people. And the pastors make lines and try to get them to come, try to make it orderly where they come down in front of you. And that night we began to have several that as soon as I would touch them, they would start manifesting demonically, just one after another. And when I would see that, I would command that spirit to come out, and they would start arguing with me, which I didn't know the language, but the devil knows the language. Matter of fact, later, Daniel, Dr. Benjamin's son, he talked to him about it later because he was so excited about it. And when they would start screaming at me, I would just tell them to shut up and come out now. And they would just drop and be delivered. And they would drag them off. And there was just piles over there of people that had been delivered. And that went on a lot that night, just one after another. But they would all come out just as soon as we spoke to them. And when we was going back to the motel that night, his son, Daniel, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I need to talk to you about the people that were delivered." I said, "Well, I thought they were being delivered. I didn't know the language. I was just going by the Holy Spirit." And he said, "As soon as you would tell them to come out, they would start screaming to you and saying, 'I will not come out. I belong here. This is my body.'" And he said, "You would tell them to be quiet and come out in English, and they were replying to you in their language, in the Tamil language, or the Malayalam, or Telugu, or Hindi, or whatever it is. And they would tell me they wouldn't come out." Sometimes it's good not to know the language, because I didn't care what they were saying. I would just tell them to be quiet and come out of them. And he said, "They come out so fast." He said, "Here in India, we interrogate them." He said, "When there's a demon spirit, we ask them what their name is and how long they've been in the body. And," he said, "we question them." And I said, "Why would you do that?" He said, "Well, that's what we've been taught." And I said, "Have you never read that the Bible says that he is the chief of all liars? And you're asking the devil questions, expecting him to tell you the truth?" I said, "Don't argue with them. Tell them to be quiet, because they're going to lie to you. You're going to say, 'Well, I've been here for this many years.' Well, they haven't either. You know, what they're trying to do is convince you that they're more powerful than who you are and who you're standing in. And when Jesus is speaking through you, when you're speaking his name, when you are sealed, when you are marked, when you have the name and the bloodline, then they have to obey you just like they have to obey Jesus." Isn't that what Jesus said when the disciples come back and said, "Oh, Lord, the demons were subject to us"? He said, "Yeah, I know. Talking about popping your balloon. They were all wound up and excited and he said, "Yeah," he said, don't worry about that." He said, "Of course they are." You know, he took it real light. He said, "But rejoice that your names are recorded." Praise God. What's he talking about? You're heirs. You have received. I gave you authority. Gave you commission. That's why they are subject to you. Praise God. To be filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us to be filled. Jesus said, "Be filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit." Well, and the connotation there is to be continually filled. Continually filled. Continually filled. Flowing to where the presence of God is flowing. Where he literally walks in you, where you can't walk into a place that you're not recognized. Amen. If you ever wonder why people respond to you in a certain way and you can't figure it out and you think, "Well, they're rude or whatever," don't worry about it. You just bumped into an unclean spirit that's really upset that you are in their atmosphere. Sometimes I think it's entertaining. I just watch them go off. lot of us get all offended and upset. Oh, they got mad at me. And the rest of the day, that's all you can think about. You got to go away from there saying, woo, they know me. We were at a gas station down in Arkansas. And it was during the Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue thing. And we pulled in this gas station. There was bikes everywhere. It was on the way down there. And there was bikes everywhere. And I was just minding my own business talking. And I heard this lady talking behind me. And as soon as I heard her talking, it's just like, oh, you know, I just felt it in my spirit. I knew. And so I kept my back turned to her. Because, I mean, we're in the middle of a bunch of bikers. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here. And so I just kept my back turned to her. And finally, I turned around. When I turned around, she looked right at me and said, she said, you! And I said, yeah, it's me. And I was standing there thinking, God, if I say come out, I don't know this lady's name. And if I just say come out, we are going to have mass confusion all over this place. Come on, somebody. To this day, I wish I'd have done it. I didn't. Because I was thinking, God, there ain't, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, what kind of confusion is going to set off? I mean, there could be just mayhem and madness take place here. And so I just said, yeah, it's me. And I just turned and walked off. I just got out of there because we were fixing to have a rumble. I know you guys would have handled that different if you'd have been there, but that's the way I handled it. But to this day, I wish I'd have done it because it would have been awesome. It would have been entertaining. But at the time, I thought, man, people's liable to get hurt. You know, I don't know how to deal with this big of a mass. But you're recognized. You are recognized. Why? Because you're sealed. You're engraved. You have the bloodline. Now see, not only does demons recognize you, but angels. Anytime you're around, they know who you are. And they're there. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, they're your servants. Some people get all excited about an angel being around. Well, of course they are. They're your servants. They're sent forth as ministering spirits, sent forth to them who are heirs of salvation. They're your servants. Come on, somebody. Praise God. You remember, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above the angels. Praise God. So start using them. Praise God. I'm winding down. Don't get nervous. Start using them. Command them to work. Command them to work. Speak to them. And say, angels, when you get up in the morning, say, angels, I command you to go before me and clear the path before me. I command you to follow behind me and protect me. I command you to go on each side of me and protect me. You are to serve me today. You're not being arrogant. You're doing what God expects you to do. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. They're there waiting for you to give them permission. So give them permission. They want to, but they won't do it unless they have your permission. So start speaking. Praise God. Every time I get on that motorcycle, I say, angels, I command you to go before me and clear the path. You're not to let anything obstruct me or endanger me. Praise God. And they warn you. They warn you. We was riding here a while back, riding down this country road. I mean, hardly anybody out there. And I see this little gas station up there, and this truck is sitting in the lane. It was just a little two-pump gas station, and this truck is sitting in this lane pointing the same direction we're going. And I saw the guy come out and get in his truck. As soon as he got in this truck, I heard this. He's going to pull out in front of you. Slow down. So I started gearing down, got on the brakes, started gearing down, And when I got to the gas station, he come out of there and never even stopped. Just come whipping right out. And so I locked up the brakes. We were still going a little faster than so I hit the brakes, slid a little bit, and he just gave it the gas and shot right out in front of us. If the Holy Spirit, if the angels hadn't been going before us, if they hadn't said, "Hey, whoa, hang on, he's going to pull out in front of you," then we'd have hit him right in the side. I mean, we'd have just, bam, because he never even looked, or else he would have hit us. But we have those that work for us and with us. Come on now. I'm losing some of y'all. Get your faith back up there. Realize who you are. Amen. Stand with me today if you would. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that we are a new creation, a brand new man. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Praise God. How many are hungry to start experiencing the new things? See, a lot of times we see the old things. We keep revisiting the old things all the time. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. New creation. Brand new person.